If you'd like to join me in reading the reading along with the scripture lesson for today, it's on page 111 of the New Testament from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard speaking in the native tongues of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, they sneered and they said, 'They're just filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what you say, what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, that in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, oddly enough, in my short time as a lay speaker and now going down the path of certified lay ministry, this is actually the third time I've preached from this passage of Acts. I'm always amazed that each time, this last time was just 4 or 5 weeks ago. The first time was my very first lay speaking class. And each time the Spirit moves in me a little different way. So this message today, it comes to me slightly different than all the others. I won't be given any tests or making you pronounce any strange words today. So hope you'll bear with me. Some years back, I was having a problem with my computer. And rather than pay somebody to fix it, I decided, well, I need to know more about computers. So I thought I'd go get a book. So I went to the library, and I found a book that seemed appropriate. It was called Computers for Dummies. It seemed appropriate for me because, let's face it, at that point in time, I was pretty dumb about computers. I guess the word I would prefer would be uneducated, perhaps inexperienced with computers, but it seemed like a good book, so I took it. I used it. The subtitle of the book is A Reference for the Rest of Us. Now, years later, I know enough about computers that I can actually say that I use this book as a reference for what it's worth. We have another book here. Some people I've heard call it God for Dummies. It could also be called the Holy Bible. There's actually, in real life, a whole series of books made by the same company that wrote the computer books. There's Christianity for Dummies, Islam for Dummies, Buddhism for Dummies, etc., etc. There's even an Atheism for Dummies. But as we find out, learning about religion, learning about Christianity, it's not the same as learning about God. You, newly confirmed, have just gone through a 4-week crash course on what it means to be a United Methodist. Several adults within the church here are also taking a class on Tuesday nights. We're learning the same thing, what it means to be United Methodist. But I repeat, learning about your church, how it operates, what we believe, how we make decisions, that's not the same as learning about God. Who God is, what God wants, and all the other crazy questions we human beings ask about God, there's a word for that. It's called theology. And people who think along those lines, as Pastor Will has reminded many of us who are in the small groups, they're called theologians. We're all looking for answers about God. So in a sense, we're all theologians. The apostles, who knew Jesus as a man, they learned from him, they studied the scriptures with him, but even after his death and his resurrection, they were just getting started knowing about who Jesus was and who God was and what his plans for them were. And this day of Pentecost was just the beginning of their journey, just as you guys are beginning a journey yourselves. The apostles were starting a new church, the body of Jesus Christ on earth, and for the rest of their lives, they would continue listening to God and trying to understand what God wants them to do, who God wants them to be. And just like you, for the last 2,000 years, there have been people studying Jesus and the Bible and God, and like Pastor Morris and William and Anna, many people have spent years going to colleges and schools to study and learn about theology. They learn about religions and doctrines. They learn about polity and eschatology and lots of other things with big words. But they've also studied, at least I hope they have, they've also studied God. And I would bet they would tell you, even if they knew everything there was to know about how churches are, they will probably never know in their whole lifetimes what God is all about. They would spend the rest of their lives studying God. Now, you are new members of our church now, and you have a pretty good idea of what it means to be a United Methodist. Have you guys got God all figured out yet? I'm going to go back to my book about computers. See, that book was written about 10 years ago. I was waiting for the snickers from people who know computers. Anybody who knows computers knows that a book about computers that's 10 years old is it's kind of like a Model T these days. Computers, as complex and as challenging as they are, they're constantly changing. They're becoming more intricate and they're more complex every day. And new books have to be constantly written about computers. But as complicated as computers are, God is infinitely more complicated. All the books ever written by man throughout history, even if they were all put together, could never explain the fullness of God. For 250 years, Methodists have been coming together to worship God, to study the Bible and find out who God is and what God wants for us. And for hundreds of years before that, Christians in general have been doing the same thing. Now, you're a part of that tradition. It's up to you to find out what God has planned for you. But you're not here today by mere chance. You're not here today by coincidence. I learned a long time back that I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I want to take a moment to tell you guys that it was about your age that I fell away from God. This is one reason it's so important for me to be here with you today. It was about your age that I started becoming hardened. My testimony is a long story, and I'm sure I could tell that another day, and anytime you'd like to share, I'd like to share it with you. But today I'll make a long story short. This is a dark and evil world sometimes. It can harden your heart. There's lots of things that can get in your way and push you away from God. But I'm here today to tell you guys and to tell all of you that God is there and He does love you and He does want you to be a part of Him. I want to reiterate something that I said to this congregation just a few weeks ago. All of us, for whatever reason and for whatever duty we have, are being called to God. You may not feel called yet, and you may not know what gifts the Holy Spirit has given you, but you are not here today by mere chance. You are being called. God has given each of us the free will to listen to His calling, to choose it or to ignore it, but make no mistake, Christ is calling. I'd like to leave you all with some words from the Apostle Paul. All of Paul's letters basically were common sense instructions for new members of new churches. They were just starting out on their long journey. And Paul gave a lot of good information to them. But today I'm going to take from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians, that's harder than theologians, I think. 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul writes, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, warn those who are idle, encourage those who are timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. You fellow members of our church, you fellow theologians, I welcome you to the long journey."